Hi, everybody. This is Deanna Nagel, and I am faculty at the Institute for Life Coach Training. And today, our topic is complementary and alternative modalities and how to incorporate those into your coach practice. So I guess first, where I would like to start a little bit about me. I am a former psychotherapist for 20 years that became a board-certified coach, and then I became I got the wellness designation, and along the journey, I started incorporating other modalities into my practice. I became Reiki-trained, and along with some other healing modalities, energy healing. I really got into essential oils and got certified as an aromatherapist, and so I've just been adding different pieces to my practice over the past probably 5 years. And so now I'm exclusively a wellness coach, and I utilize intuition, I do readings, I focus on chakra balancing. So I do a little bit of everything. I use the oils, and I love what I do. But because I was a therapist, there were some leaps I had to make in terms of understanding the ethics, particularly because I was licensed. As coaches, we're not licensed, so we're not as bound to as many rules as licensed therapists, but that's how I dipped my toes into the whole ethics piece of this. So that's a little bit of my background. And so just so you know, ILCT does have my course that's self-directed on incorporating CAM, complementary and alternative methods, into your practice. So if you are interested in taking that, it's a 5-hour course. And anybody that hears the call, the recording, or is on the call today, you can sign up for that course and get a $25 discount. And let me get the code for you. It's E, capital E, 25 when you check out. So that's a gift from us to you for being on the call today and being interested in this topic. So I guess the biggest thing, takeaway I would like for everybody to have today is whatever alternative method you're thinking about incorporating into your practice, make sure you know what's required of you in terms of scope of practice from that discipline. So, for instance, Reiki. Reiki can be practiced hands-on, hands-off, from a distance, but some states will only allow massage therapists to practice Reiki or licensed nurses. Somebody who's a licensed therapist or a coach cannot practice Reiki in some states. Florida is one of those states. So that sort of changed everything for me when I moved here. So I had to change it up, and I use Reiki techniques, but I also pull on other forms of energy healing very similar to Reiki, because even though I never did hands-on Reiki, as in touching somebody, doesn't matter. It's still regulated under the massage therapy board. So just keep that in mind. Another example, and several of these are covered in the course, is nutritionists. In some states, dietitians and nutritionists are regulated, and in some states it's a very strict field. And so if you are a health coach or a wellness coach and you're wanting to incorporate nutrition or physical training, to becoming a physical trainer, which sometimes involves nutrition education, you need to be really, really clear about the scope of practice of that discipline where you are practicing. So we talk about a lot in coaching about, you know, we are coaches, and sometimes we have to put that educator hat on with our clients to educate about a particular topic. So when it comes to states where nutrition is very, very strictly regulated, we have to be careful even with that about what we say to our clients and how we give them that education. So, and one safe way to do that is to, of course, offer some resources for them to educate themselves and empower the client to find that information for themselves. Another really hot topic right now in the health field, in the wellness field, is essential oils and aromatherapy. I think it's everywhere. I was introduced to essential oils about 4 years ago, and I had a phenomenal response to them personally, so that's why I became interested. And so the real ethical piece about essential oils is most of the larger essential oil companies are multi-level marketing companies or network marketing companies, much like Pampered Chef or Avon, or Amway or Shaklee. And that's a legitimate business model. But in terms of using those products and selling to your clients, which often happens if you're into essential oils, your clients want to know how they can get them, you need to be real clear about what your role is with the essential oils. So if you're signed up as a distributor and you're wanting to make an income with essential oils and sign people up on your team, so to speak, you need to be real clear about that with your client to say, you know, I get compensated for every sale that I make. And that's just an example. My terms of use goes as far as to say that some of the links that I have on my website that I may receive compensation or a referral fee for some of the products that I endorse. So that's just the ethical piece about being very, very clear in your agreements about what your role is, whether you're a coach or you're practicing an alternative method, how you practice within that discipline, and how your compensation is structured. And so I want to just say a little bit about this. One of the things that, and I'm sure most of the people listening on this call will be primarily coaches, but there are some people who are deciding to become coach educated, and they're already holding certification or practicing within another discipline. So, for instance, they are yoga instructors, and they've decided they want to add life coaching or wellness coaching, or they are Reiki practitioners, and they've decided they want to add coaching. And then there's the other flip, which is you are primarily a coach, and you're thinking about bringing another discipline in. You need to sort of figure out for yourself through, you know, visioning, through mission statement, through value setting, what your primary role is, because it makes a difference. If you are a Reiki practitioner and you've decided to become coach certified, but your primary role is going to be that you provide Reiki, then I would say you're probably providing your Reiki practitioner who practices coaching techniques. Okay, so it's going to give you a different perspective and a different way to communicate with your clients. Same as if you are an aromatherapist or if you are a yoga instructor or a Pilates instructor. Okay, if you're first and foremost a Pilates instructor, then that's what you do. If you're a coach, primarily a coach, and you want to bring in different techniques to your clients, then that's the flip side. So, for instance, when I am wellness coaching, I often tell my clients the benefits of self-Reiki, self-treatment with Reiki. And then if they are interested, I can teach them how to do that, and I can attune them so they can provide Reiki to themselves. So that's an example of my primary role being a wellness coach, and then I'm giving them something that they can take away that's going to empower them. My primary role may be as a wellness coach, and then we're talking about different essential oil blends and the emotional benefits of using essential oils. So it's just a different paradigm depending on what your primary role as a practitioner is. And then, of course, as always, your coaching agreement needs to explain all of that. So there were a couple of questions that were sent in. One was, are there any special types of releases or consents necessary for specific types of complementary modalities? And the answer is yes. And again, depending on what you're practicing, you need to fall to that discipline, to those professional organizations, to find out what you need to include in your practice, or you can reach out to your liability insurance company. So I'm insured through Energy Medicine, and they cover a multitude of modalities, including coaching and massage therapy. And they give sample consent forms, and they have a little ethical training series that you can go through. And they're pretty specific about what needs to be in what they call their informed consent. And when you agree to be insured by them, you check off a box that says you will provide an informed consent to each one of your clients. You can call it a coaching agreement, but they just want to make sure that your clients are informed if they're covering you in terms of liability. So yes, you do need to know what those specific disciplines require of you as a professional. And then another question was, how do you introduce these alternative approaches like meditation or Reiki with interested clients and yet assure them of your commitment to evidence-based treatment approaches? So what I've done throughout my career, whether I was practicing as a therapist or a coach, is I have a handy reference guide. It's like a bibliography. It's like, you know, it's got maybe 5 to 10 resources that they can, as a consumer, research themselves and I give them, you know, articles or books that I think are particularly efficacious. And, you know, at some point they make that determination. Some of the techniques that I use, they're not evidence-based. And I'm very clear about that. This is some of what I do is based on my belief, the client's belief. You know, it's not necessarily religion, but it certainly is a spirituality. So, you know, I'm not necessarily going to be pulling out peer-reviewed journal articles for that. So it just depends on what you're practicing. But again, you can fall to your professional organization to perhaps offer you some solid research-based articles that you could pass on to your clients. So I'm going to open it up for questions. And if you have any specific questions, just press *6 and you will be unmuted. Don't be shy.
Hi, this is Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi. I am a licensed clinical professional counselor, and I am currently working towards board certification. And I'm not real familiar with these different types of modalities, but maybe it's more a comment than a question. Just I appreciate that what you said earlier about just the importance of clearly defining my role and then also including that in the agreement. I guess, would you have any other suggestions that I should be aware of if I chose to start incorporating some of these practices?
Well, so you are currently licensed as a therapist?
Yes,
So some of the same considerations you have to sort through from either being therapist coach or a therapist and then separately a coach, or whether you practice coaching under your therapy umbrella, those are some of the same pieces that you sort out as a CAM professional. So there's the debate about whether if you're a therapist, you should have your therapy practice and then separately your coaching practice, or whether you are practicing coaching techniques under the umbrella of being a therapist.
Okay.
So that same concept applies to adding different modalities to your coaching practice.
Right.
Okay.
So
for me, my most of my practice now is somehow involved. Essential oils are sort of touch every part of my practice. And so for me, I have a team of people who have signed up to be on my team, and they use the oils regularly. And part of what I do is educate them about how to use those oils, and I meet with them once a month. And because, and I'm using this as an example, because it's almost like a close-knit family. You know, we have classes, they come to see me individually, we're on social media together. I have changed my agreement with them so that I'm in the role as consultant. I'm not coaching them, and I'm not counseling them. I'm their consultant. I'm their educator about the oils, and I put everything under that umbrella. So that's why it's really important to understand the service you're providing, the scope of practice of that service, and if there's a product involved, to understand what the limitations are of offering a product to your client.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm in the role of consultant, then there's no dual relationship, so to speak. There's no issue about being on social media with them. In fact, my essential oils people would be insulted if I weren't on social media with them, because that's how we communicate. So it's really about the culture of the service and the product you're providing. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good. Anybody else have a question?
This is Candace, and I wrote the initial question about the releases and consents. I wanted to clarify that a little bit more. I'm retired now as a professional counselor, but I am still licensed in a different state. And so I would assume that since I'm not currently practicing, I don't have to worry quite so much about a conflict. In that regard. However, you mentioned using consultancy as I would trying to think of a more discreet way to put it, but it almost sounds like a good way to kind of hide behind that, and then if you have what might otherwise be perceived as conflicts of interest because you're calling yourself a consultant, that wouldn't be a problem. As much as it might be if you called yourself a coach. I am a BCC, but I haven't really built my practice yet. So I'm not clear on whether you are calling yourself a consultant for that reason, or, and kind of the implication there is that we might call ourselves consultants, especially if we're offering other products or modalities that could be in scrutinize more carefully if we call ourselves a coach, especially a BCC coach.
Okay, so let me clarify. No, I'm not saying call yourself a consultant if that's not what you're doing. Because you need to, again, if you're coaching, you're coaching. And if you're doing therapy, you're doing therapy. So when I am consulting with my essential oils team, even though we're talking about wellness, and I may pull on some coaching skills or some communication skills, but I'm educating them. I'm their consultant. I'm not in the role of asking the powerful questions. I'm not in the role. I'm telling them. I'm teaching them. So mm-hmm. It is a very different role. By the same token, I may have somebody who comes in who is not using essential oils who wants a wellness coaching session. And that's a totally different than I'm giving them a coaching agreement. Okay, because
okay,
I don't.
So, if let's say you already have a coaching agreement with a client and they want to attend your essential oils classes,
they can attend my classes, but once they purchase, then that role that I have with them changes. Now, as a therapist, that can't happen at all. So, if I'm a therapist and I'm using essential oils and my clients want to know under me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a therapist, because that's a dual relationship, cannot happen. So I have to refer them out, like go to the website and sign up on your own, and you'll be assigned a sponsor because I can't be that sponsor.
Right.
Okay. With coaching, we have a little bit of leeway, and it might mean that the coaching relationship is changing, and that's going to be on a case-by-case basis, but again, you need to be very clear about your roles. That's the main thing with coaching is you need to be clear about your roles, but if you go from coaching to becoming their essential oils educator,
mm-hmm.
are you coaching role? Or are you still coaching them along the way? See, it's
right.
It still can be kind of messy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why if I'm teaching them about essential oils, and I'm using essential oils as an example. It could be some.
Right.
It could be nutritional supplements. Okay.
Right.
But if I'm teaching them about that, then that's my role with them.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, could you have the same role at the same time? Could you be coaching them and also consulting with them in regard to the essential oils, and
yes,
have
you can,
separate agreements for both and not
well,
do them at the same time?
Put your education hat on, which we do as coaches all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where it gets tricky is when you're selling a product that you mm-hmm. that you receive money from. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you just need to be real clear about in your coaching agreement. You can say in your coaching agreement that depending on the topic and depending on your expertise, you may occasionally educate your client on various topics. Okay, but for me, my primary role, since I am a business builder with my essential oils company, that's my primary role. I educate my team members. And I don't want to confuse them by being their coach.
Okay.
But there are some coaches who are just going to want to use essential oils in their practice, not as another revenue stream. They just want to use the essential oils in their practice because they think it's going to benefit their clients. And in that case, you're simply coaching and then putting your educator hat on and telling them about a specific oil. And they may not even purchase that oil from you.
But in that case, if they wanted to purchase the oil from you and you were a distributor and they were going under you, would you still be okay as long as you self-disclosed all of that and had them sign it?
I think you would be okay, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure.
You did ask the question about being a therapist and you're retired.
Right.
And I'm not practicing anymore either, but I hold a license in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be hesitant to take on a client, a coaching client, who is a resident of New York, simply because
mm-hmm.
I'm licensed. And
okay.
because I live in Florida, the chances of that happening are pretty slim.
Right. Well, I moved here. I'm in Florida, and I moved here from South Carolina, so... You know, it could be I would get referrals for coaching clients from the state of South Carolina from previous colleagues or, you know, friends or something like that. But I feel that would certainly be okay to do just as long as I had the right release forms and was very clear that my role was as a coach and that I couldn't even practice as a counselor in that role because I don't even live in the state anymore.
Well, you could practice online, technically.
Technically.
You can,
mm-hmm.
So, again, that's each, of course, we know with therapists, every, mm-hmm. depending on the discipline in the state, there's so many boards and there are so many rules. So you would just need to get clear with your licensing board and then your malpractice insurance.
Right.
So for coaches, it's our certification. For therapists, it's our license. And for both of us, it's talking to our malpractice insurance for both disciplines.
Right. So I should do that before I would take somebody that's in South Carolina, lives in South Carolina.
Yeah, I would just make the call to mm-hmm. your board to be, you know,
right.
just to do due diligence.
Well, it's going to be irrelevant soon because the license is going to lapse. So that will protect me a great deal. I just won't take on any South Carolina clients in the meantime. Thank
okay.
you so much. You're so helpful.
Good. Good.